just makes everything all better. He is risen. So, good morning. It truly is a good morning because after all, he's risen. Indeed. As you heard, Pastor David is gone today. I am still Andrew. Just last week, I played Jesus in a skit, and I had long, beautiful locks. But my grandfather had passed away, and the funeral was last week, and I cut my hair to honor my grandma, who always hated my hair, so she liked it, so it was worth it. So it's still me. We'll see if I still have any strength left. Today we're going to look at the book of James. And like all the letters of the New Testament, we have the privilege of reading James in the light of Easter. James was written post-Easter, and sometimes we forget about that little piece of information when we look at some of those New Testament books. But we have to remember Easter when we're reading them. Before we do that, I want you to go back into your memory banks and try and think of a time when you chose to do something that was difficult. You took on a challenge. And you probably have a few examples to choose from. I'll give you a second to sort of mull that over. See if you can come up with a time where you took on a challenge. The example I'll share with you is from my illustrious running career. I realized early on in life that I was not especially gifted in athletics. I enjoyed playing soccer, but I wasn't very good at dribbling or, they call it dribbling, right? Ball skills. I wasn't very good at shooting, any of that stuff. So I ended up running up and down the field a lot. And I got to high school and I found out they had a whole sport dedicated to running. So I joined cross country. I was pretty average, but I tried hard. I had some fun with it. I remember one day in particular when I was lacing up my shoes, getting ready to go on an 8-mile run, this question popped into my head. Very simple question. Why? Why are you going to run 8 miles? I pushed the question aside, started on my workout, but I had this nagging, these questions continued to nag me. Is something chasing you? You do realize you're running a route that ends up exactly where you started, right? Why are there so many people riding bicycles today? Man invented the wheel for good reason. So it was a long run. And now currently I still run a mile here and there, sporadically, once in a while. But my desire to be a runner, a true runner, died that day. And it died because I couldn't answer why. I could not come up with a compelling reason to keep on doing the hard work it takes to run ridiculous distances. So if you run a marathon, that's awesome. Congratulations. And I'm sure you've had to have a reason why you would do something like that. I couldn't find one. And I'm sure you've had the same moments in your life where you just kind of stop for a minute and ask, why? Why am I doing this? Why am I here? What's the payoff? What's the payoff? See, we're humans, and we have to have a reason to do the things we do. If we think something is pointless, we're not going to engage in it, right? We're not going to participate, at least not for long, and at least not with our whole effort. And conversely, now we look back on some of the challenges that we took on, some of the things that you're thinking about, and you know for certain why you did it. The reason is, at least then, the reason was crystal clear, right? I mean, we do things for love, right? Think of how many of you guys have done something crazy for that special lady? Or how many of you ladies have spent a lot of hard work and extra time making sure you look just right for that special guy, right? will do crazy things for love. If you're a parent, you know that only the ends of the earth can stop you from doing what's best for your kids. But now when it comes to faith, it's easy to miss the point. In the life of faith, sometimes we forget the why. In the swirl of appointments and paperwork and bank accounts and scheduling and preparing or purchasing food, of driving to and from different places, taxes, it's easy to forget Easter. So we go back to the why. Why are we doing this? Why are we going through this pain and this hardship? And part of the answer is because the IRS is not as forgiving as God is. But there's also a bigger piece to that picture. And James is going to tell us the why. And we're going to read that in a minute. But I want to explain to you a little bit about what's going on when James is writing. James is writing to a church that is being persecuted. Okay, they're being driven from their homes. They're living under threat of death for their faith. And so these Christians are, their churches are being uprooted and scattered, and they are certainly asking, why? Why go through with all of this? Why should we maintain any of our beliefs at all? So James answers that question. Just one little verse, James chapter 1, verse 12. He says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." So in other words, if you stand strong, you will live long. Eternally, in fact. If you stand strong, you will live long. See, James is showing his readers, his persecuted readers, the big picture. And if I could, I'd like to show you a picture of the big picture. Okay, you ready for this? There we go. The empty tomb. James is pointing us to the everlasting life that God has promised to those who love him, and it is made possible because of the empty tomb. It is made possible because of Easter. So take a good long look at the big picture there. Now, there's some scholars who squabble over who wrote the book of James. I think they all agree it's James, but which James? Most of them agree that it's the brother of Jesus. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote this letter. So I want you to think about that for a minute. And to help us do that, I am going to show you a short video from a comedian named Michael Jr. Tough life. You know, church tradition tells us that James never believed in his brother's special status. James was a resolute Jew who happened to have a crazy brother with a Messiah complex. He never bought into the claims of Jesus. Until Easter. Okay, it was the empty tomb that proved to James the irrevocable truth of his brother's claims. Easter painted the big picture for James. And like all the other Jews of his time, he wanted a Messiah who was a military leader, who would come and overthrow the Romans. He didn't want a martyr who would just be crucified like a common criminal. But the resurrection allows James the chance to look up from his current situation. The resurrection showed James the big picture and the big plan of God. I want you to take a look at this picture. Maybe you can tell what it is. My wife could instantly. I couldn't. I was very confused, thinking it was, I couldn't tell what it was. Because it's so zoomed in, I was unable to make sense of it. But when you take a step back, we have the zoomed out picture. There you go. Two chickens having lunch. And now it all makes sense. We can look at that and instantly know what it is, because we have the information that we need to make sense of it. And that's sometimes how our lives can get, isn't it? We get so focused on the little things that we miss out on the big picture. Sometimes missing out on the big picture can be confusing. This is a little bit blurry. I apologize for that. But that's just a mountain goat hanging out on a mountain, doing his thing. But now, if we look at the big picture, we see he's in a little bit of trouble. And how often have we ended up on a dead end because we weren't paying attention to what's around us? We're too focused on our feet, what's right in front of us. And before too long, we're stuck between a rock and another rock. Okay, one more. Sometimes not knowing the big picture can be dangerous. So here we have a diver enjoying the beautiful ocean. But seeing the big picture shows some very important information, doesn't it? It's a big shark. It looks like this guy was prepared. He has a big camera. He's taking pictures. But if he didn't know the information that he needed to know, if he didn't pay attention to the big picture, he'd be in a lot of danger. Well, he still is in a lot of danger if something goes wrong. But knowing the big picture can save our lives. Knowing the big picture can save our eternal lives. So these photos are kind of funny, but the point's very important that it's essential to look at the big picture. If we're going to avoid confusion, if we're going to avoid getting stuck, if we're going to avoid death, we need that big picture. For us and for James, Easter provides that big picture. In fact, the new life looms so large for James that he can say, "We are blessed when we stand strong, because then we will live long. The crown of life is made possible because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. His victory is our victory. And we must always remember that we are blessed." In the midst of financial struggles, we are blessed. In the midst of failing health, we are blessed. In the midst of threats from our enemies, we are blessed. When all our plans go awry, we are still blessed in any and every situation, no matter how glorious or tragic, we are blessed. We can endure any hardship. Why? Why is it that we can endure any hardship? Our old friend, the question why. Why do we endure this or that? Because God has blessed us. And God will bless us with a crown of life. When we stand strong, we will live long. But see, God's promises require us to look at the big picture. We need to look long term. And the crown of life that James talks about is something that we receive later rather than sooner. And that is frustrating, isn't it? It's hard because we want our cake and we want to eat it now. But God says, wait. My promises are good. My promises are ironclad. He says, it's your timing that's a little bit off. And that gets us sometimes, doesn't it? We lose sight of the long term because we aren't looking at the big picture. But when we surrender to God's timing, we're able to stand strong. And when we stand strong, we will indeed live long, eternally. So I know I've talked today a lot about the big picture, and we have to step back and look at the big picture, and we're too focused on the small stuff. Look at the big picture. And that's all well and good, but the question still remains, how do we do that? How do we look at the big picture? So we'll talk about that. As I mentioned before, Easter provides us a picture of the end. When we see that empty tomb, we are told once more that Jesus rose from the dead in victory. We need to just stop and take a good long look, because his resurrection is our resurrection. His everlasting life is our everlasting life. I'll say it again. His victory is our victory. So through Easter, we know the end of the story. So we need to remember Easter. We need to read Scripture. Scripture allows us to see the big picture. Once we familiarize ourselves with the Word of God, we're better able to see how seemingly separate pieces fit together. We're able to see how our own lives fit into this story. The confusing parts of the Bible, they get explained by other parts of the Bible, and before you know it, things start to click, things start to make sense. But that doesn't just happen magically. We have to read it. That's the key. We have to read it daily. And I think we need to read substantial sections of it. Large portions of it. Not just a stray verse here and there or a short passage, but to sit down and spend 15, maybe 30 minutes just plowing through chapters of Scripture. When we do that, we start seeing the big picture. It starts developing before us. So I challenge you to take some time to read this book in maybe a little bit different way than you have. Sometimes we do devotions. If we do daily devotions, we get kind of scattered. We're in this book one day and this book another day. Sometimes we read through a book at a time. But I challenge you to just start at the beginning and go through it. There's a Bible that they released, I don't know how long ago. It's called Read the Bible in 90 Days. And basically, it's just a regular Bible split up into half-hour readings. So it takes about a half-hour a day, which is a lot. It's a lot of information. But we're not trying to focus on the little details when we do this. We're trying to get the big picture. And so doing that helps us to see the grand story of God. So we need to read Scripture if we expect to see the big picture. Also, we know that as people, we're very short-sighted. Kind of like the goat. We walk looking at our feet, and our eyes can only see so far. So we need to have a healthy prayer life. Prayer is what helps us absorb and understand the big picture that God is trying to show us. Sometimes we know information up here, but we don't believe it in here. And prayer helps us to get that information turned into belief. So another thing that we need to do here to help see the big picture is be willing to change our expectations. This is a hard one. We believe not so much in God's promises, but in our view of what God's promises should look like. So God says, I'm blessed. I should be blessed. I should be able to drive the car I want to drive and live in the most beautiful house I can find. When in reality, we know that even if we were without a roof, even if we were homeless, we are still blessed. It's kind of weird for us Americans to hear. Even if we are without, we are still blessed. I want to take Moses for an example. The Bible calls Moses a humble man. He obeyed God. He served God with everything that he had. And God said, you're going to lead my people out of slavery. Moses said, nope. God said, yep. And before too long, Moses is instigating plagues against the Egyptians, and he's demanding that his people be set free. So God uses Moses to part the Red Sea. The Israelites can travel through on dry ground, and they are miraculously saved. Yes, God's promises are good. But the people turn away. They worship idols. They revel in debauchery. And as a result, they're sentenced to die in the desert. But Moses still has to lead these stiff-necked, ungrateful people because, dang nabbit, God has made a promise to them. God's promises are good, right? Well, Moses wasn't so sure anymore. He put up with these people for 40 years. He even talked God out of smiting them all. Moses is a guy who was willing to stand strong under trial. He was able to keep the big picture, the promised land, in the front and center. And while God's promises are good, the people do enter the land, and there's excitement and rejoicing. But where's old Moses? He's sitting on top of a nearby mountain, only allowed to look into the land. He can't go in. Moses will die outside of the promised land. God's promises are good, right? So maybe today you're feeling doubt. You feel doubt about the good promises of our good God. Maybe life has taken you on some turns you didn't expect. Maybe you're not where you'd like to be. Maybe you're feeling left outside of the promised land. But remember the big picture. Remember Easter. Life may have dealt you some blows, taken you for a ride that you didn't want to go on, but the big picture says that a crown of life awaits us. So Moses may not have gotten what he expected to get, but I don't think he minds too much anymore. So just like Moses, we've been given something much greater than a section of land. We've been given the crown of life. We've been given victory over the grave. And sometimes I feel like my expectations are not being met. Sometimes I feel like God didn't do what I thought he should do, or he didn't show up in a way that I wanted him to. But the big picture of Easter assures me that God can and God will exceed all my expectations. It's my expectations that are too small, isn't it? In your bulletin pack, there should be a bookmark. Some of them have pretty Easter colors. I guess I have a, looks like this. And on that, there are a few blanks. So earlier today, I asked you to think of a time when you took on a challenge. And now I want you to think of a trial or struggle that you're currently going through. Something that is just hard. What's a tough situation that you're currently going through? And then how does that make you feel? The old therapist question. But write that in the first blank, how you feel. So I am hurt. I am angry. I am lonely. I'm depressed. Write in whatever it is that you feel when you think about that particular circumstance. I maybe should have had, I don't know if there's pens available, but. Okay, then the next blank, I want you to fill in the circumstance. That's the because line. So I am angry because my friend lied to me. or I'm stressed because I'm overworked. Okay, so you have your feeling and then the circumstance that makes you feel that way. Give you a few moments. The next line says, but I am blank. And I want you to write in there the word blessed. Make it all large and bold and a few exclamation points, because we are blessed. Yes, you are going through hard things. You are hurting. You are confused. But the end of the story says that you are blessed. I'm going to read our verse from James one more time. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And God's promises are good. Now, maybe you don't know God's promises. Maybe you don't have that hope in Christ. Maybe you don't know what it feels like to live in the life of Easter. And if you don't know Christ here today, you are in the perfect place, and we're glad to have you. And I would just like to invite you to come down at the end of the service. We'll have some people who can pray for you, or come talk to me. If you have any questions about faith, about this Jesus, or about Easter and all that, any questions about the big picture, we'd love to talk to you. Don't let this day pass by without exploring the option of Christ in your life today. So if you have your bookmark completed, now you just need to use it. Use it in a book, one that you're currently reading. So doesn't it just end up on a shelf? But put it somewhere where you will see it. Maybe put it on your fridge or your bathroom mirror or your dashboard in the car. Somewhere where you can see it so you can look at this truth. Because we need to preach to ourselves, don't we? We need to look at truth over and over again for it to really sink into our hearts and our minds. So look at this truth. Look at the big picture and stand strong so that you might live long. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, thank you for Easter. Thank you for victory and new life. God, I pray that you would help us, send your Spirit to be with us as we go through our struggles, as we go through busy schedules, as we go through this life. Remind us, Lord, that we are blessed, that you've taken care of all of our expectations, and that we are in your hands. Thank you for the blessings that you have given us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Right.